We live in a country, and I've often heard people pray this and thank the Lord that we live in a country where we have freedom to pray and to worship and to share the gospel without looking over our shoulder. I heard this week of a congregation in the Middle East who gather together to worship, but they're not allowed to sing. Can you imagine that? They're not allowed to sing. It could cost them their life. So there are places that are not like ours, eh? And so we thank the Lord that we live in a country that allows us to pursue our goals with freedom and joy. It's true because it's God's design. This morning, as we come to remember, we're remembering people that we know. People that we know here. But even more than that, we take this time to remember because it's God's design. Paul the Apostle understood this. I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2 with me. He understood that God had a design that includes those in authority over us. He was aware of God's call on his life to be an apostle, to go out and spread the gospel. And he knew that to be successful, God had placed certain people in authority over the areas that he ministered so that he could travel safely and he could have an environment in which he could communicate the gospel. And no, there were people in authority who not necessarily cared about God at all, but God had put them there for the purpose of allowing him to minister. Some of them were judges. Some of them were soldiers. As you read through the New Testament, you'll see events where those things unfolded. And so I want to read 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 down to the end of verse 8. So we see that Paul's awareness of this. Paul writes, "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. And a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing." I called this sermon "Pray for Everyone." Seems like a rather tame title, doesn't it? What's the big deal? That's what we do. We pray for everyone. But I want us to see out of this passage that everyone might be a little more than we usually think of intentionally. Paul calls us, first of all, to pray for people in authority. Because God works through people in authority. He works in such a way that we are able to live peaceful, verse 2, peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. In Romans 13, I like Romans 13 when I want to think about the role of government and how we should relate to government. I find Romans 13 to be a nice little passage to go to. And in there, it actually says that people in authority in government are full-time servants of God. Did you ever think of that? Maybe you work for the government. You are a full-time servant of God. The Caesars in the Roman Empire, full-time servants of God. Soldiers that helped Paul go from Jerusalem to Rome, full-time servants of God. And so today, we particularly have come to remember those who have been in the military or who are in the military. And I think all of us would include those who have been in the police force, those who are in the police force. We have those people in our congregation. People who step into dangerous situations so that we can walk anywhere, just about. And not worry about danger. These people need to be recognized. Because they don't receive words of thankfulness or gratitude very often. Had a little episode one time. I looked out my window and there was a fox in the parking lot. And didn't look like a very healthy fox. And wasn't the first time, and so we decided to get some help. I think we called the police. Somebody called the police. Police officer came and sort of watched where it went. There was actually a field across the road, and there was a mother with her little fox pups over there, and so things settled down. I went out after this officer had been around for maybe an hour, and I thanked him. And this is what he said to me. I don't hear those words very often. Now, when I'm getting a ticket, I don't usually say that. Ah, dear. But you know what? We need to appreciate these people. And we need to tell them, because not only do they experience the pain of working with sinful people, their families experience the fallout at home. We need to pray for them. But you know what? Also, the government calls us to pay taxes. And hospitals ask us to buy equipment and contribute to funds that allow them to do their work. Sometimes schools ask help to send students on band trips. God is at work in those people. And we need to pray for them. Jeremiah 29:7. I'm not going to turn there, but just jot it down. Jeremiah 29:7. It tells us to pray for the prosperity of the city. The Israelites, the Jewish people had been sent into captivity. They were not there because they enjoyed it. They weren't there on a holiday. They had been sent into as slaves into captivity to Babylon. And they were not happy campers. And God spoke to Jeremiah and said, tell those people to pray for the prosperity of their city. You know why? Because if they prosper, you'll prosper. And we need to think in those terms. Contribute to the welfare of your culture. Contribute to the welfare of your community. Pray for those in authority so that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. God works through people who are in authority. There's another reason God has placed people in authority. It's in verse 3. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants people to be saved. God wants way more people to be saved than we can even conceive of. Have you ever thought of sharing the gospel with a Muslim person? Well, listen to this. Ran into somebody just recently, and he was a pastor. And he had ministered to Arabic people. So what religion are Arabic people? Muslims? Anything else? Christians? Different people. And he said this, I have to confess that when I was a pastor, when I was pastoring, I did not try to reach Muslims. Wow. That was a shocker. I kind of thought they were the majority of Arabic people. But apparently not. And he was sharing this idea that right now there are many Muslims turning to Christ. I don't know if you ever noticed the names of Arabic pastors, but apparently there are quite a few Arabic pastors. No, let me start again. Apparently there are quite a few Arabic people, Muslims, who have become Christians, and now they're becoming pastors. So if you see a name that you can't pronounce, probably one of those. God desires for all men everywhere to be saved. That's why we need to pray for people who are in authority. This, to me, this little sentence here in verse 3 is kind of a hinge in the passage. It's a hinge that goes from the focus of praying for those in authority to praying that we would realize that God's real purpose is to see that people are saved. Do you understand? People in authority are not an end in themselves. They are servants of God to help us accomplish His purpose of spreading the gospel rapidly to many people. Here's what it looks like. In the Roman Empire, led by godless men, there was fantastic communication system. It wasn't a telephone. It was more like a road. And all kinds of people and armies could pass quickly throughout the empire because of the road. Also, the Apostle Paul. He seems like such an inconspicuous fellow. But they built the roads, and Christians were able to travel with the gospel far and wide. Then the passage goes on. The reason I think that's a hinge is because the passage goes on to say that Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. And now we come down to why we pray for everyone. You understand? Soldiers and police officers lay their lives on the line so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives. Jesus laid down His life so that we can have ultimate peace with God. Which if we don't, we've lost everything. And then there's one more link in this thought. I've already told you what it is, but let me say it again. Jesus is the one mediator between God and man. That means a number of things. That tells us a number of things. One of the things is that it tells us that we can go in prayer directly to Him. But the other thing that it tells us is that salvation is only through Christ. He is the only mediator of the gospel. And because of that, Jesus' direction in our lives takes priority over everything else. You see, because of this reality, what did Paul do? The passage tells us. What did Paul do because of this reality? Did he join the military? No, he didn't join the military. Did he become a politician so that he could make the world a better place through political reform? No, he didn't do that. He heard God's call on his life. And he gave his life to sharing the gospel. He committed himself to doing that full time. We need to pray for those who are in authority. But we need to pray also that Jesus' direction, Jesus himself, needs to be at the center of our lives. He needs to be the one who directs us and guides us in what priorities we have. We need to understand and listen to his voice saying, Colin, this is what I've called you to. Will you follow me there? For each one of us who have put our trust in Jesus Christ, we need to go there. He is the only one who is able to save and give life eternally. And so, we need to pray for everyone. Now, I forgot to tell you something, and I'm going to tell you now. I want to emphasize that I have real appreciation for the people who work in our military. I have a lot of friends who have been in the military or who are in the military. And I want you to understand that the military, it's not just a one-way street. The military doesn't just do things for us. There are at least three men in this congregation who, as a result of being part of the military, have come to Christ. Isn't that awesome? That causes my heart to just boil over. Serge Demare and Andy Pridham. Early on, Andy tells me that even before he got into the military, the seeds were planted, but shortly after he entered the military, God took hold of his heart. That is beautiful. God works in mighty ways. Bernie has had a long time walk with the Lord in the context of the military. Bernie Sierroni. And Andy Princent. It was while he was in the military, under the testimony of his wife, that he realized he needed a relationship with Jesus Christ. God works. God works. And we need to be excited about it. And we need to be aware that God works in contexts where we aren't expecting it. And we need to praise him for it. Pray for everyone. Pray that all men everywhere would hear the gospel and come to a knowledge of the truth. Listen, there are many people who live sacrificial lives, but we need to share in the load. We're coming to the communion table. We've remembered those who have put their lives on the line so that families can enjoy peace and quiet and safety. At the communion table, I want you to know that when we serve together, we have communion. Do you understand? What I'm saying is, when we serve together in a local church, or wherever we serve, and we work together with fellow believers, we have communion in a way that it sort of is at the next level. And I want to encourage you as you come to the Lord's table and you remember Jesus, that you would remember and watch around to see who those are who are serving beyond their limit. That's not the right way to put it, I understand, but who are doing a lot of stuff. We need to join together in service and enjoy communion that way too. Pray that God would give us fellow servants, fellow heralds of ministry, so that we would have communion with Him and we would have communion together. Let's pray. Father, we enjoy so much our people. We enjoy so much Your love toward us. We're thankful that You are the one who reaches out to us, who intercedes in other people's lives, so that we are able to live in a wonderful country. Cause that we would rejoice and remember that You are engaged, whether we see it or not, and to be thankful for those who serve us in the ways that You design. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.